You meet us with such abundance every single time. Lord, thank you for the meat of the word that you have prepared for us today. God, thank you for the two rows of teeth that you've given us to eat. Lord, let us just settle down and dwell in it. God, let us learn to love and let the love of Christ constrain and move and forgive and encourage, Lord God, and help us to truly have that repentant heart. God, help ones right now, Lord Jesus, to understand in whatever situation it may be, if they need the healing, Lord. Just like David, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Praise God and it's done. Oh, and how he meets us with such abundance. Thank you, Lord. There's always something going on because the grace of God prevails. We thank you. We give you the praise and glory and honor. Anoint your people with the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. We're coming to the conclusion of the last, well, this is the third Sunday. We've been in this precious seventh verse of the first chapter of this wonderful Philippian letter. Paul wrote this joy book of the Bible, this joy letter, if you will, while he was in that prison. And it was an awful prison. And he was deserted by pretty much everyone. But God had a plan. I'm going to give you even an increase. I'm going to give you a joy, brother. And that joy is going to be the fellowship and the remembrance of it, of those that love the truth. Those that dwell in the truth. Those that are the full overcomers. Those that have stayed with the stuff. Those that, praise God, received Paul's gospel from the first day till now and did not move from it. That's where the joy book of the Bible sprung from. Do you realize that? Do you see what joy we should enter into this house of the Lord as we come in here? That's full joy. That's full joy that took Paul right out of a prison. Took Paul right out of any discouragement that he would have. That maybe I don't have a lot of people around me flattering me, encouraging me. I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord with those ones that share in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to be thankful to gather with them, praise the Lord, in spirit. And I thank God for this truth that goes forth today. Let's begin reading from the fourth verse of this first chapter. Actually, we'll go to the third verse. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine. Isn't that something? Every prayer of mine. For you all making request with joy. Isn't it a blessing to have someone that loves the truth think of you and there's a joy that you add to their life? I pray you know the joy you add to my life, that you love the Lord. There isn't anything greater that we can give one another than to just fall in love with Jesus. I can see it in you and it's wonderful. Always and in every prayer of mine for you all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel. That means Paul's gospel, my gospel. From the first day until now. See, they didn't move from it. Being confident because of that gospel and not moving from it. Being confident of this very thing. That he which hath begun a good work, the most excellent thing is what that means. In you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Always thinking of the day of the coming of the Lord. That's all that this gospel is about. Is being ready for the moment of his appearing. That's what this gospel is a bride that will meet him in the air. That's what this excellent work is that comes only from the gospel of Paul, praise God, Paul's gospel, that was given to him of Jesus Christ, amen. This wonderful gospel that completes the word. I want you to understand the gospel is all the word of God. So when we talk about Paul's gospel, it's the word of God. But it happens to be the word of God that fulfills or completes the word of God, as it tells you in Colossians 1. And what will complete him will be his wife. What will complete him will be that queen that will sit with him and rule and reign jointly together with Jesus Christ and be glorified together with him. Everything waits for that moment of her ascension to his appearing. And they will meet in the air. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So because of the fellowship that did not move from this gospel, we are confident of the very thing which he hath begun. You understand that? The grace of God that was given to you. Amen. He hath begun. He that is full of grace and truth. We're confident in that. That the very thing which he hath begun, a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here we go. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, there's the first one, inasmuch as both in my bonds, the second one, and here's the last today, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Do you see how Paul owned it? Hallelujah. He took it. It's mine. And those that have my grace, because Paul knew the magnificence of this grace. And you understand that grace came from the only place grace can come from, and that's Jesus. He is grace. He's all grace. He's full grace. He's grace for grace. Every move you make towards the things of God is grace. So it's Jesus. But Paul says, he's mine. And this is a big mine. Hallelujah. It's a gold mine. Amen. It's the gold mine because it's all grace. We come to the last of these three glories today. The wondrous revelation, brothers and sisters, and I do believe by the grace of God, for us, partakers of Paul's grace. Amen? We're talking about Paul's joint heir, glorified together with Christ Jesus' grace. See, it takes full grace and all grace to believe that. It takes full grace and all grace to embrace that. Because most Christians won't. Because they don't want that much grace. You have to refuse grace not to receive this message. You do. You have to refuse grace to not receive Christ Jesus as Savior. It's all by grace. You're saved by grace through faith. Amen? But it was grace that gave you the faith. And you better know it. That grace of God is here. That grace was given to all men. It's there. But what will you do with it? And then what will you do with it once you receive grace to be a son of God? Because at that moment, you're a son. Then what will you do with that grace? Is that the end of the grace that you're going to take? Are you going to limit grace? See, Paul said, I'm glad. I'm so thankful. I did not make the grace of God vain in my life. He didn't make it empty. He let it make him full. And in the fullness of grace, he went on to the fullness of truth. In the fullness of grace, you'll always see the fullness of the love of God. You'll see it clearly. It's a cookie on the shelf. It's that simple. Because it is faith like a child always. But yet, it's that faith like a child that'll cause you to be mature, even to the measure, fullness, and stature of Jesus Christ, that when you meet him, you would be like him. I want to be that for him. With what he is for me, oh, by the grace of God, I want to be that for him. I want to meet him with every bit of abundance of the glory of his grace. I want him, as I behold my glory, I want him to behold his glory. And I mean that. See, that's the grace that I believe in. This is Paul's grace. This is grace that is so confident in grace. Have you received the grace of God that is so confident in grace? Are you nuts about grace? Come on, let's just say it. Are you delirious in your life about the grace of God? If you're not, you're missing it. That's what David, that's why he was so delirious. That's why he said, my heart pants after God. Like a deer after the water. That means delirious. David was delirious with the grace and the mercy of the Lord. He sang about the mercy of the Lord more than anyone. And I've heard people say, oh, they're talking about mercy again. What did he do wrong? Well, you know what? Good, I did. I did a lot of wrong. Thank God. David realized that. And you know what? That's why he called out on that mercy. That's why he embraced it so. It wasn't that we sin willfully that grace may abound. Don't go there. But I'll tell you what. He takes those that are willing to be exercised thereby. Huh? Oh, well, I just want one kind of exercise. No, you need to be cross-trained. That's a good one, isn't it? Cross-trained? He just gave that to us, so we'll take it, amen? But know this, confident in grace. Grace that is confident in grace. See, that's the grace for grace. He gives me grace to be more confident in grace. You see how simple that is? See, when we veer off trying to be confident in ourselves or think that we can do it, we are moving away from grace. You're moving away from the hands of God, which are grace, which are the only hands that can mold you and make you after all his perfect and complete will. That's it. Because you didn't deserve to be there in the first place. And you certainly don't deserve to stay there, but for grace. How many times have you blown it? Huh? Always. Amen. You dwell in, oh my. But it doesn't end there. It's, oh my God. Amen. It's my God. It's my God. Hallelujah. But God. He's there always. So, brothers and sisters, we have grace that's so confident in grace that the promise of the bridal message, the promise of the bridal message to rule and reign jointly together with him is yea and amen. It's done and it's given. See, I thank God for the grace that he has given to us, that we see it. I thank God for the grace of God that's given to us, that we want it. I thank God for the grace that is given to us to believe, without a doubt, that he will make it mine. Amen. He is the author and finisher of my faith. Who's going to finish this? Huh? Amen. He's the author and finisher of my faith. And it says that because of this gospel, as we read, it has one result if we'll stay in it. He'll perform the good work, the excellent thing which he has begun. And it makes me so thankful. How could we even sit here? No, really. Without just crying out to him, thank you, Jesus. You promised that you'll finish this. Praise God. It's all through the word. It doesn't veer, but it's exact. It's a mark for the prize. It's the whole counsel. As Brother Paul said, I'm not withholding a thing. And when you withhold, your life from this, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. Don't miss this. By the grace of God. Amen. Lord, let me take your grace to set my face like a flint. It ain't moving. It can be slapped. It can be thrown stuff at, but it ain't moving. Now, praise God, we saw the first of these three wonderful, glorious testimonies in this seventh verse of Paul's bridal grace. The first one we saw was love. I have you in my heart. Isn't that wonderful? See, brothers and sisters, without love, I like this, nothing profits anything. Without love, nothing profits anything. You can know all mysteries. You can preach it till you're blue in the face. But if you're cold, it's going to die out. You better be thankful for the love of God that's alive in here. And it's because of him. And it's because of folks that ain't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And even to salvation with eternal glory. Don't forget that. You know it, don't you? Be thankful, joyful, give him praise. Hallelujah. See, without abounding in this love, you'll miss it. You won't even begin to run. And if you did run at any time, it'll be a past tense. You ran well. What happened? Huh?
But when you're in love, what happens? Well, we move to the second glory we talked about last week. Then we are willing to suffer together with Christ. See, you'll never suffer with Christ until you're in love. See, when you're in love, you'll suffer with someone. When you're in love, you'll be willing to go. When you're in love, it doesn't matter what people say. When you're in love, it doesn't matter how you live. When you're in love, it just doesn't matter. You're in love, and you've got to be in with that person and have that fellowship in love. Right? That's what happens. So, in that fellowship of sufferings, I have you in my bonds. I understand it's a privilege because I'm a prisoner of his love. See, I surrendered to be that prisoner. I submitted to be that prisoner. Grace did that. I fell in love with grace. I fell in love with mercy. I fell in love with the word of his grace that is so ravished by me. Yes, I do. I shake my head. Are you sure? But he doesn't like me to question. How many times have I told you, honey? I do not want to insult my lover. I don't want to insult him. Why question him when he loves me so much? How about just thank you? And oh, I love you too. I love you, Jesus. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I can't stop telling him I love him. Because he loves me so much, and he's so for me, and oh, how he has laid his hands upon me. Hallelujah. Oh, and I'll tell you what, a result of a life that is in first love and is willing to suffer with him. I'll tell you what, you'll move to the third glory. I have you in defense and confirmation. You'll stand. You'll just stand. You just get up there and stand. Going to be like a little Abishag and come in there before him and just, honey, just stand there. I need comfort, honey. I'm getting a little old. I just need you to warm me. Well, here, I just need you to stand there. What do you think? Philippians 3:10. Move over there real quick. We talked about this last week. You see the same three glories here. You see the heart, you see the bonds, and you see the standing. It just repeats it again in such another layer of glory. That I may know him. See, this is how we know him. Amen. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. We see that the power of his resurrection is knowing the all-powerful Holy Ghost love. It's full overcoming love, isn't it? If the power of the Holy Ghost and that love could raise Jesus from the dead, raise him, the one who took upon himself and was made sin for us, and raised him from that. Because of love. Remember, this was all because of love. You can't deny it. Because it was for God so loved the world that this all happened. This was about love. So love had to raise him. And why would it not be the very power of his might that did it? So you take this love, praise God, and immediately you'll have, as you dwell in it, you'll have that full, overcoming, powerful love. The Holy Ghost love power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the love so powerful, it will cause you to move into the fellowship of his sufferings. I know it says, yes, I have you in my bonds. But as we mentioned yesterday, when you move into this, you're into the bonds of matrimony. You know the power of that love. Haven't you? Even naturally speaking, when you fell in love, you're a prisoner. I don't want to love him anymore. He's not worth it. But I got to write him another love letter. And that's just a natural, fallible man. Or a woman. But this is the sincere, true lover. Hallelujah. Are you glad you're a prisoner of his love? Are you thankful that you can't move? That every time you tried to get away, I can't. Do you like to be trapped? I pray you do. I'll tell you what. He can make you even a joyful prisoner when you're in love with Christ. And in love and in suffering, what happens? We become conformable to his death. The proof of first love is you stand. You're fully clothed. You're beautiful. There's nothing more to add. Esther, take everything that the chamberlain tells you, honey. Don't add anything to it. Just get out there, honey, and stand. You'll ravish him. You'll ravish that king to the point of him saying, what's mine is yours. I'm so in love, I'm yours. Do you realize what we've been given in the heart of Jesus? He said, I'm yours. As the Shulamite said, my beloved is mine. As she said, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now, brothers and sisters, many will love. Some will even suffer. But it'll only be for a season. The question we have is, will we remain in it? These Philippian saints, if you will, the Philadelphia saints, in Revelation 3, it says that they keep the word, and they keep in the word of his patience. And as we see here, they kept in it from the first day until now. There's a standing there. And the standing, praise God, is in Paul's gospel and nothing else. This is why Paul is encouraged of the Spirit to write this letter to this church and not to the church at Corinth, not to the church at Galatia. They got their letters. Oh, yes, they did. But they didn't get this one. Because this letter of the pearl of great price, it had to go one place to those that would receive it. See, like a lot of people come in here and say, well, I've never heard this. Why isn't this preached everywhere? Well, it should be. As a matter of fact, Paul's gospel has been preached to every creature under heaven. It's there. You have to refuse it to not hear it. You have to know that. But let me tell you something. God's precise. And when he sends it, he's going to perform it in that thing that he sent it. There's an expected end to our lives, brothers and sisters, as we receive this gospel. It's going to come out with one thing, and that's the bride for Jesus. But he ain't just going to throw this around. He's not. It's not going to be that way. He's going to bring it and bring the vessels in to hear it that will receive it. God does not waste his time. He doesn't. He knows what he's working with. He's working with vapors. We're vapors. Our life grows in the morning and is mowed right down. We don't have much time. And it's exact and it's intense, isn't it? Every time we get together, the intensity even grows. The perfection of the word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the clarity, the light upon light, it gets clearer, doesn't it? It gets more uncomfortable. I can't move. Come on. It's okay. You're just human. But this is the proof of the first love Philadelphia church. They remained in it from the first day to the last. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take that crown. Seen a lot of people come through, many years even, holding the crown. Oh, this is great. But then something happened. Anything can happen. Anything. Any wind of doctrine will get you. Any wind. A breeze. And that breeze can come from anything. Doesn't just have to be, in a sense, as people think, another gospel. It's any wind of doctrine. Any man speak. any man speak. And there's lots of speaking out there today. And if you give your ear to it, it's going to make you unstable. It's going to get you to be distracted, and you're going to pick something else up. And when you pick something else up, you just laid something down. A crown. The partakers of my grace crown. That's the grace that wins that crown, is Paul's grace. It stands in it. It remains in it. There's nothing worthy to be compared. As the sweet sister, the Shulamite, told us, I tell you what, you're going to get a lot of sufferings. You're going to have a lot of trials. But when your trials become your worship and your idol, when he's at the door, you're going to miss him. You got to take this stuff, and I got to take this stuff in stride. And I'm talking a running stride to win him. In the stride that I know that these things are coming, God said, I'm going to be pressed out of measure. I'm going to be despairing of my own life. I get these things. It's going to be something strange, but for the word of God that tells me, call that thing. Don't think it's a strange fire that just hits you. It's a refiner's fire. Praise God. It's what you've been appointed to. It's what our elder prayed about. Praise God. You want to be loosed and free to run? Get into the furnace and realize who's there with you. So many get into the furnace and, oh, it's all about the furnace. We got to be about who's with you in the furnace and what the furnace is doing with the one that's with you. Then you're loosed and you're free and you fly and you soar. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the proof of first love. The Philadelphia church, they remain in it. There is nothing that compares with his love. That's it. What's your appetite? Do you just run around saying, well, I know this. I've got a diploma from this. I got a certificate. I'm going to tell you like it is. You better get off of that stuff. I've seen many a life ruined. And I'm talking about my brethren. I do pray this the last sermon I preach. I do. And I'll tell you what. I'll know it'll be him that moves me out of here. Whether it's by the air, by the grave, or wherever he takes me. These are the ones, brothers and sisters, this fellowship that cannot be denied. This insatiable truth, the ones that love the word. They're the ones that fight off the winds of doctrine. They're the ones that will endure ridicule. Praise God. They're the ones that don't care if it ain't comfortable. And I hear people say that. And I'm telling you, I pray that we love one another in here. But I'll tell you what, don't you look for a comfortable church. Or you'll wind up, they do, they have comfortable churches, and if they preach any part of the Word of God, what they'll do is they'll hand you a palm as you come in. And that's what you'll have. That's what you'll have. You better be after the whole counsel of God. God help us to want that. These ones will endure insults, like, oh, you're proud. Have you ever heard someone tell you, oh, you think you're a better Christian than me? These are ones, by the grace of God, and I pray I'm one, never be entangled with the opinions of this life. That's part of the affairs of this life, our opinions. Man's opinions are deadly. I want to be a full overcomer. Full overcomers are the ones who rise from failure. Full overcomers are the ones that do not let the enemy lie to them with the words, you're unworthy and too wicked. The full overcomers are the ones Paul speaks of in Romans 5, verse 2, where he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, and what happens when that happens? And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Man, I love that. I just love that. What's your expectation? Full glory. Why? Because I'm standing in grace. Yes. Praise God. Well, I'm looking at you and I'm not liking what I see. Well, I don't care. I'm standing in grace. Huh? And I'm glad I'm not looking at you, because I sure don't want to tell you what I'm glancing over here and seeing. I love lovely grace. That's what's brought you here and sat us down. And I love what I've heard throughout the years. Oh, you want to be busy? Sit down and listen. Sit down and listen. Quit wanting to be heard and listen to the truth. Quit wanting to be encumbered about and to sit and kneel and worship at the feet of beloved grace. Brothers and sisters, do we see it? The proof of first love is you stand and you withstand. And having done all, you stand in the bridal message. Paul's grace is the grace that preaches no other gospel. Paul's grace is the grace that hears no other gospel. Did you hear that? Paul's grace is the grace that hears no other gospel. It doesn't give its ear to hear any other wind of doctrine. Paul's grace is the grace that fellowships with no other gospel. What did Brother Paul say to the Galatians, who all three of those were going on? Chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "But if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him, let me be accursed." As we have said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received of me, let him be accursed. You see, this isn't about Living Waters Church. This isn't about Living Waters Church. This is about the message of Living Water. Amen? This isn't about what my church believes. This is about Paul's gospel, the message that by the grace of God I believe. You see that? Our calling, praise God, is the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is. That is our calling. That's our vocation. Go read about it in chapter 1 again of Colossians. It's exact. It's precise. There can be no veering. As Brother David in Psalm 62, you know what he said? "I will not be moved. I will not be greatly moved. I shall not be moved." Huh? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It reminds me of the Philadelphia saints there in Revelation 3. You know what God said about them? "I'm going to make you pillars in my temple." Listen to what he says to them in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. And this is written to the Philadelphia church, this same company of believers here in the church of Philippi. "Him that overcomes," see, by the grace of God, that overcoming power, "will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem." Yes, the bride adorned, descending from heaven, having the glory of God, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, "and I will write upon him my new name." And my, oh my, what's she going to do when she gets to heaven in the temple? She's going to stand. Honey, just get out here. I just got to take this in for eternity now, honey. I just want you to stand there. I'm going to tell you something. Tell you something. You'll never have anything there that isn't accomplished and lived here. Okay, pillars? It's okay. It's, matter of fact, it's wonderful. Brothers and sisters, we have to stand in it now. What do pillars do? They stand, they support, they don't move, they're affixed. Where do they grow? Right out from the foundation. Must be just like them cherubim. They come right out of that mercy seat. Pure gold of Him, aren't they? They weren't added on. They were one piece. One piece. And they come right on out. Looking right back at the mercy that made them. Not at one another. But just looking at Him. With Him looking at them. Oh yeah. That's who the Philadelphia saints are by the grace of God. And I love how the Lord truly in His love, love commands us. It does. Love. It does. I want love to command me. I want love to move me. And think about what Philippians says about this love. Oh my. Verse 27 of chapter 1. It says, only let your citizen or your conversation, that means your manner of life, just you, your being, only let it be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, isn't that Paul's gospel? I've never seen Paul, but I'll tell you what, I know that gospel. I know he's speaking to me today. I praise God. I know that he wrote this letter. This letter is alive and speaking to me right now. Whether I see you or else I be absent, that I may hear of your affairs, that what? That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of God. The gospel concludes it in chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. Oh my, what's he saying here? You hear me say that once in a while to you, don't you? My dearly beloved sister, my dearly beloved brother. Huh? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. There's a lot of stuff shared here in partakers of my grace. Huh? What do you do? Stand fast in the Lord once again, my dearly beloved. You think he realizes wedlock divine with those that are following him as he followed Christ? Do you see that he's calling them? These aren't just brethren. These aren't just my friends. This is my dearly beloved. These, we've entered into marriage. I'm privileged to stand with you. I'm privileged. We're privileged to stand together in this. To fight this good fight. To give and receive this encouragement that God has given us. Praise God that we are on the mark for the prize. Praise God. Praise God. It's more clear today than ever. It's more evident and more near than when we first believed. Amen. So by the grace of God, let's go on. Standing, withstanding, and having done all to stand. And I'll tell you what, we'll sure enjoy being pillars in the temple of our Lord, thy God, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name we come and just give you all the thanksgiving and praise. Lord, thank you for your heart that you've poured out to us today. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that are here that, Lord, prepared of you to receive this. Let every life know that if it was just them, it would be exactly the same. And it is that intimate and that personal. It was just for me. Because as the word has been encouraging us, I'm it. That's what your gospel is about. It's that great love. As the kids sang today, that we would be confident only in the love of Christ that is for us. Confident only in the love of Christ that will merit anything more of truth in our lives. Confident again in God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We give you the praise now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen.